Hey, yeah, just a quick one before we crack on with the episode. This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further. Literally. They cover all things travel finance, like the smartest way to book flights without playing the guess the cheapest day strategy, how to avoid paying for upgrades that you won't use, and when to book peak season trips without paying peak season prices. So travel smarter, spend less, with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get back to the show.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Do you love spontaneous adventures, travel tips, and stories that will inspire you to pack up and go? Well, welcome to the Winging It Travel Podcast. I'm James, your host, and each week I bring you travel tales, practical advice, and interviews with travelers from around the globe. Whether you're planning a big trip or just dreaming about one, you'll find everything from hidden gems to epic fails, because travel is not perfect, and that is what makes it beautiful. So grab your backpack and let's wing it. New episodes every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube too. You can find Winging It and more fantastic travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com. The link is in the show notes. Let's go and explore the world. Hello and welcome to this week's episode. And today I'm sharing our weekend in Kelowna as we went there for the Easter long weekend. And normally I do a guest episode after a solo episode, but I need to shift a few people around. So today I'm going to get this one out because it's actually 6 weeks old already, that trip. So I want to get it out there before I forget. Kelowna is a place we've never been to. We've been to the Okanagan region in BC for the road trip. We went to Penticton, but never really checked out a Soyuz, Vernon, of course, the main city of Kelowna. So that was the aim of the trip. And I think for some context for you, it's about 4 hours east of Vancouver if you drive. And it's a 40-minute flight from Vancouver, which we did and got a hire car out. And it sits on the eastern shore of the Okanagan Lake and is surrounded by rolling hills, vineyards, and orchards. It's a pretty idyllic place, also known to be one of the warmest places in Canada as well. We went there for an Easter weekend because the flights were super cheap. From Vancouver, we got a really late flight out. I think it's about 10 p.m. and it was delayed by an hour and a half, I think, at that point. But it was only $30 and we'd done the personal item only, which actually is annoying, but it's still a backpack. So you can pack a nice little backpack up and put it by your feet. Cost of the return was $100 and we had 4 nights there at the Royal Anne Hotel. We normally go cheap, but for this one, it's a little bit of a treat and want something nice. The Royal Anne Hotel costs $700 Canadian all in for 4 nights. And with that, you get breakfast and you get parking sort of around the hotel. That is first come, first serve though. And it's right bang in the center of Kelowna in the heart of the city by the waterfront as well. And to aid with our trip, we got a rental car for 2 days from the airport and we're going to explore the local area. First full day is going to be Kelowna, the city. And the second 2 days were out on the road. Price of the rental car from the airport, there's loads of options, was $45. And I think I had that in points, so effectively free. And I think you can probably get it for that price most of the year. Plenty of options. It's a quiet airport, easy to get there and back. The Uber, if you're in downtown, is probably around $35 to $40 to get there, though. So bear that in mind. And to save money, we timed it. So when we dropped the car off, that was when our flight back was. We finally arrived late on the Thursday night before Easter Friday. And obviously, it's just checking in and getting straight to sleep. After breakfast, we walked down to the lake. Very peaceful. Lots of early risers going about their walks. Really mild. Lots of fresh air about. It felt super fresh. Incredible scenery down there. And we followed the Okanagan Rail Trail all the way around to Tugboat Beach. Wonderful wildlife as well down there, great birds, and great to see the views of the lake as far as the eye could see. But all I remember from this morning was it's super blue, just blue water, fresh, no winds, very mild, and it's almost like summer had arrived. So we aim to walk that trail, and that basically takes us around the city. But obviously, there's a slight plan. So walk around the city, visit some great cafes, have some great coffee, and eat good food. First stop was Slowside Coffee, which serves coffee from Ten Wendelbo. He's a premium roaster based in Norway, so they ship it in from there. His coffee is unbelievable. Loved it. Very busy, very popular. This coffee shop that we're in is a very third wave type establishment, but I loved it. So as I said, this was Easter weekend and we struggled to find anywhere for a late lunch after looking for some yarn stores for Emma's content. However, we did find a little bit of a gem. We found Yellow Star Snack House, and it's Vietnamese family run, and they serve Vietnamese food. So we had a banh mi and got to speak to the owner about Vietnam, which is really cool. Reminisce about some trips there. We talked about some mutual places. So please check her out. That is worth it for a great lunch. At this point, we've followed the trail all the way around, actually, the city, and we're walking a very significant amount of steps. So I needed a coffee stop at Pulp Fiction Coffee House. That's right in downtown by the hotel. And yes, if you're a fan of the film, it's definitely worth checking out. Just full of Pulp Fiction memorabilia. Pulp Fiction cups, Pulp Fiction coffee, photos, all the sayings. I've seen that film once. People rave about it. It's one of the most overrated films there is. Doesn't mean it's bad. I actually think it's quite a good film, but people bang on about it so much. But yeah, the coffee was great as well. We had a lovely evening walk along the lake, which was a tad chilly as the wind came in, but a great sunset, and it's jam-packed with a lot of people. And for the evening restaurant, we booked Casa de Frida for dinner. This is an authentic Mexican restaurant run by a Mexican family. And a lady there made me a mole sauce with my enchiladas, and that tasted so good, unreal. And it has a lovely homely feel because the restaurant is actually located in a house. In the summer, it's got a lot of seating outside, so I think it'd be pretty cool when it's warmer weather to have some Mexican food and some cocktails or drinks. That'd be pretty cool as well there. Next morning, we headed to the airport to pick up the hire car and drove to Vernon. And the first impressions of Vernon weren't great. Very run down, not much going on. But we do have three highlights from there. Emma managed to find a cool yarn store in the middle of this random road in this estate. Pretty random. Second of all, we had a great coffee at Triumph Coffee. That was pretty decent. And this was one of the best brunches of the year. We went to Eat Ology. Sensational. You do probably have to go there and put your name down. There's going to be a bit of a queue, but it is worth it, my word, especially if you're vegetarian or vegan. We did want a bit of nature, so we hopped in the car and drove to Rattlesnake Point for a great lookout point over Caramalca Lake. It's an easy trail, not too hilly and not too tricky for terrain. You can get right to the top. Great views there. And the weather was starting to get sunny. So we headed to Friend. I don't know how you pronounce that. Friend. To do a wine tasting. It was $10 for five wines, I believe. And this place is relatively new, like the last 3 or 4 years. And they claim to be the only beachfront winery. And it boasts an unreal setting with the beach, grassy area, and the little pier that goes out to the water. It is pretty dreamy, to be fair. I think they call themselves the Amazon as well of the vineyards because they do free shipping for their wine. Emma actually signed up because their wine tasted pretty good. I don't drink wine. I wouldn't appreciate it, but I was there to watch Emma drink wine. You do have the option to have dinner there, but it's going to get pretty busy, and they do say that members get priority, so sign up if you're in the local area so you can book that evening meal, because I think in the summer, no chance. For our evening meal, it's Dawet Fine Indian Cuisine. Pop that in Google. Great curry, great vibes. So we do love a road trip, so next day we're out again a bit early on a drive to Soyuz, which is right by the border of the US, and we haven't really seen this place yet. We drove through it on the road trip up the Crow's Nest Highway on the way across Canada. Pretty amazing when we think about it. And we saw the lookout point where we stopped. It winds up to lookout point over at Soyuz. But this time, we're going to stop in town. So we stopped at Junction 3 Coffee House. This would have been on Easter Sunday, actually. So not much going on. But that's a great spot for sipping coffee outside. Great weather with parking nearby. Again, Soyuz specifically, I think, is one of the hottest places in Canada and one of the driest all year round. And it has a great walk along the lake. And we went along the lake, across the road, across the bridge, back onto the second part of the lake. I guess the feel I get here is it's a much older crowd, probably a retirement place, some golf courses, vineyards and all that. We did see some conservative election volunteers out and about, so I guess that's a spot for there. I can't imagine there's too much diversity going on there. But saying that, we did manage to go and do a super cool activity. We drove up the road to Inca Meep Desert Cultural Center. This is a First Nations learning center, and it has trails outside up the hills and a great learning center to learn about the Inca Meep. Now, you've got to learn the history about this because, especially as a Brit, it's a pretty uncomfortable conversation based on what some of the ancestors got up to over here. But you have to do it, and it's important for school children as well. So the Learning Center shows you some films. You can learn some of the language, hear some of the stories, and then you go out onto the trails as you walk up to learn about how they live. And obviously, you're going to hear some history about the First Nations in the area. And it's quite a big area. It does sprawl out into the US and up the Okanagan region. And for adults, it costs $18. And for family, it's $42, which covers two parents and any number of children. It was very popular with families on this day, which I love to see because you do need to teach your kids this stuff. I love learning about the history and how shit the colonizers were in that area. But hey, what's new? But it's always important to keep learning, as some people don't want to, and we all know who those guys are. So the rain came back a little bit. We got up to the trails, walked around, got back in the car and drove back up to Penticton. Weirdly, I always wanted to go back to Penticton because on our road trip, it was super sunny, idyllic, great vibe, lots of cafes and people milling about. On this day, it was rainy, dreary, and no one was there. It was like Easter Sunday. So a bit of a different vibe this time. And we didn't really feel it. So we did go to Penticton, went to a cafe, had lunch, then popped straight back in the car, back up to Kelowna. And when we got back to Kelowna, we had dinner at a local brewery, and it's called BNA Brewing. They have great beer, as you would imagine. But next door, they have a tasting kitchen, but you can sit in the brewing spot and order from the menu. Just ask your server. A great burger, must admit. That was it for our trip before coffee at Bright Jenny's the next morning, before taking our car back to the airport and catching a flight back to Vancouver. It was just a very relaxing weekend. We had 4 days there and we just wanted to check out the place, not do anything too wild, but just get a feel for it. And I must say, Kelowna, I do really like it. It's also a slight option if I was to ever move from Vancouver in BC. I never thought I'd say that, but the location on the lake just makes it pretty idyllic. So you've got the water, you've got the good weather, the winery's near you, and you're not too far from a big city. If you go 6 hours the other way, you get to Calgary. So it's kind of halfway between Vancouver and Calgary, so you're kind of near the Rockies a little bit. If you want to know more about what we did in Penticton, I do have an episode about that on our road trip. It's called The Canada Road Trip Days 10 to 15. So Penticton, Nelson, and Two Jacks Lake. To finalise, Canada is not cheap to travel locally, but the Okanagan area is a dream location with not too bad prices. The hotel price can be cheaper if you don't stay in downtown. If you get a car out, which is super cheap, you've got plenty more options. I can imagine there's some pretty decent locations around the lake. So it's great weather, very blue lake views, loads of vineyards to choose from to do some tasting. And if you're looking for an area near Vancouver for a weekend, Kelowna is definitely worth the shout, and we will definitely be going back. So thanks for tuning in. That's the Okanagan region done for us, I think. Osoyoos, Penticton, Kelowna. There's other places around there, but they're the three main hubs. We've driven it. We've been there. So next time on our Canadian weekend away, I think we're probably going to dip into some parts of Alberta. I think Edmonton is on our list. But before that, definitely on our list is Tofino. So watch out for that solo episode. I'll catch you then. Thanks for tuning in. Cheers. Bye. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast episode today. If you've been inspired by today's chat and want to book some travel, if you head to the show notes, you'll see some affiliate links below which help support this podcast. You'll find Skyscanner to book your flight. You'll find booking.com to book that accommodation. Want to stay in a super cool hostel? You'll see Hostelworld down there too. You'll find Revolut to get your travel card sorted. Click the GigSky link to get your eSIM ready for your trip. And more importantly, you'll find Safety Wing Insurance to get that travel insurance for your trip. There are many more to check out. So when you click that link and book your product, a small commission goes towards me and the Wiggin' It Travel Podcast. Thank you in advance and enjoy your travels. Hey, yeah, just a quick one before we crack on with the episode. This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel. A new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further. Literally. They cover all things travel finance, like the smartest way to book flights without playing the guess the cheapest day strategy, how to avoid paying for upgrades that you won't use, and when to book peak season trips without paying peak season prices. So travel smarter, spend less, with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get back to the show.